You'll join me in prayer. O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
dearest Mother,
saints and sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles,
and give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Reading according the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believeth on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And reading from Mother Hamilton, this came from a Christmas service in 1963. The glorious birth of the Christ. That story has been told millions and millions of times since the time of Christ, and it never ceases to be a tale of glory. This is the story of Christ, the Savior of every man. He resides in the heart of everyone. He is that infinite intelligence which is within each of us. We who are on the path of higher truth have come to see the birth of Christ in a very different way than we saw it when we followed the story historically. Yet that historical story has a charm, a mystic quality about it that never ceases to hold us in rapture. We think of all the events leading up to the birth of Jesus, the Son of Man, who became the Christ, the Son of God. They are thrilling indeed. This was a tremendous happening, a tremendous event. Every time we think of it, we feel a stillness within us, a mysticism. We begin to feel our whole being lifted up, and we want to worship at the feet of God and at the feet of His only begotten Son, the Christ. We want this more than anything.
We buy gifts to lay at the feet of the Christ, to emulate the shepherds and the wise men who went to there to worship him that evening. We have come to be a commercial world, perhaps, though it need not be so. Because the man, the woman, the child, who does not feel the spirit of giving through this time of year, is poor soul indeed. He is poor in spirit because you do not give to these people because they give to you, but you give your gifts, laying them as offerings at the feet of Christ, who dwells in their hearts. It should be given in that spirit and in that spirit alone. We make our home festive. Why? The real reason should be that we want to make it a house of beauty in which we may worship the birthday of the Christ. He did, in truth, come to save us from all sin. Everything that we do should be an expression of the beauty of Christ within us. We should serve all men because of that infinite presence within them. If each woman were to serve God and every man, then there would be indeed peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. If we could go into this secret chamber within our own soul and meditate and worship God there and become one with the consciousness which is the Christ, we would lose our taste for all the things of the world. This power, this glory, this radiance, this feeling of ecstasy, of communion with God as we go within to worship, wherein we find the kingdom of heaven, is beyond my humble efforts to describe. It is indescribable, because it is said that God existed before the world was created. When you come face to face with God, when you become one with Him again in your soul, when the Father and the Son have been reunited, no words can describe this union with the Beloved. You have transcended all time, all space, all duality, all the manifested world, and there is nothing there but the One, the radiant light of God. We are never satisfied with the life that God has given us. We are never satisfied with the work that He has given us, nor the place to live, nor His provision for us. Yet, no matter where we are, no matter what we have, this is God's will for us. As of this moment, wherever we live, whomever we serve, whatever the condition of our lives, this we have written upon our own brows with our own hands at one time or another. It is the price that must be paid if we are to attain this oneness with God. And yet, we cry about it. Why do we not rejoice? Everything that is denied us in a worldly sense, everything that is taken away from us in a material sense, is but a stepping stone to the greater glory of God. Everything that is denied us in a worldly sense, everything that is taken away from us in a material sense, is but a stepping stone to the greater glory of God. Because of this pounding away like a pickaxe going on, we lose our desire for the worldly things, and we want this desire for God. It is said, "Seek first God in His kingdom, and all these other things shall be added unto you." The man of spirit could no more go back into a worldly life than he could fly, because he has found something so much greater, so much more joyful, so much more filled with ecstasy than anything he has ever experienced before. And the things of the senses have no comparison. Why should he return to that which is left for that which he has attained? Jesus the Christ said, "I and my Father are one." And in truth, he found this oneness. But we too were born not the sons of God, but the sons of men. We, like Jesus, the Son of Man, have to go through all of the trials and the tribulations which are necessary to purify us, to raise our consciousness. Because we suffer, this purifying process goes on. We become very different people than we used to be. Sometimes our desires are denied us. If we give into all the things of the senses all the time, we wear ourselves out physically, mentally, spiritually. We create disease within our body, and this we do not want. Every man wants, more than anything else in this world, a spirit of peace, of comfort, of promise, of happiness. He wants all of his needs and wants taken care of. But you see, the man of spirit, the man of God, knows that if you have God, you have all of these things, because God is omnipotent, he is omniscient, and he is omnipresent. He is in every atom of space, and without him, nothing was created. He is everywhere, equally present. You will come to that conscious oneness, and when you do, you will have that knowledge that there is nothing but God, both manifest and unmanifested. In truth, the world becomes God to you. You see God everywhere, in everyone you meet. You attain this universal consciousness, and your whole life is changed, never to be the same again. People are so foolish when they settle for something less than the highest within themselves. They could be lifted to great heights. They could attain knowledge such as they never had dreamed of. Joys which they cannot experience in the human sense. All of this they can do with little effort. But you must be willing to stick with the path, meditate upon God morning and night. You must dedicate every thought, every word, every action to him. He is the sole provider. He is the sole doer in the universe. And without him, he could not move, nor breathe, nor live, nor have our being. He is that infinite intelligence. Let us have the courage to face ourselves and to see the truth about ourselves. Let us make a resolution this Christmas to truly live in the Spirit of Christ. This mystical experience, which we are told is historical, does take place in the life of every single human being when that one has been on this earth enough times, when he has to come back again and again, when he has evolved to the high state of spiritual consciousness, this birth of Christ will come to him. This is such a tremendous teaching. It's such a revelation to us when we have been told only about the historical Christ, that Jesus, who was born 2,000 years ago, came to redeem all mankind. And yet we look out in this world around us, even to those who are believers, who have been baptized, who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And what is that redemption? Do they live that life in Christ consciousness? Are they ever one with their Father? Have they become a son of God? We are born into this world as son of men, and that is, we have two parents who are both human. We come into human consciousness, and with very rare exceptions, this is all we come into the world with. We do have our memories of our previous life. Oftentimes, children are filled with memories of their astral lives. And many times we compare the wonderful astral life that we have, or a causal realm that we were in, and we look around through this body and through the senses, and we're dissatisfied with what we have. It's difficult coming into the body. It's really very hard compared to the freedom and everything that we had in the higher realms. So one might ask, why is it that we come? And it is because we have unfulfilled desires. We have left lifetime after lifetime without having done what we have come to do as a soul. And that is our ultimate realization, to come into this Christ consciousness. Master came to this country and this continent in 1920. And he did so in order to bring this inner truth. Jesus, operating without a body, had requested Babaji to send somebody who knew the inner truth so that that could be reawakened. It was time. We are entering into a new age, to a Dwapara age. And it was time for these inner teachings to come. And so Master came into this world, into this country, in order to reveal these inner truths. And then Mother, his great disciple, took those teachings and she took them all the way to her own God realization. And in the process of that, she went through all the stages that are written about here in the Bible. Some of the things she knew from Master's teachings, but some things came as brand new revelations. She would go through a particular experience, and then God would take her to the Bible, have her open it and read there, and then say, "See, this is what you've just experienced. This is the inner meaning of that experience." In the Bible, it says that a wise man's heart is on his right, a fool's is on his left. And she experienced this in the opening of the heart center and the transference of consciousness from the human body to the astral. The astral heart is on the right side. The human body is on the left side. And she felt it. It was a tremendously painful experience for her as she heard the, within her inner ear, the gurgling of blood going from the heart, from the left side to the right side. And so there represented this transference of consciousness. And it's a wonderful thing, you see, when you begin to see that these writings that seem difficult to understand, suddenly they make sense. That there was a prediction that there would be a great Savior born upon this world, and that that Savior would come and lift mankind and the world into a new realm, into a time of peace and happiness and joy. Now, if you are Jewish, then you are still waiting for that event to occur. If you are Christian, you are waiting for that second coming. But what Master taught and what he explained was that the second coming is not going to come out of the clouds in the sky, as is sometimes pictured by people, but that when you meditate and you go inside, and we're taught to see here at the third eye point, and we are taught to focus there. This is the Christ center. This is where Christ consciousness exists. And when you focus there, in the beginning, there are nothing but dark clouds. And then suddenly, you may see lightning streaks. You may see colors of various kinds, and gradually those colors begin to resolve themselves into a most beautiful gold. We were sitting in silence the other Saturday in long meditation, and inside was the most beautiful gold. It truly is indescribable. How beautiful this gold is, and it makes any colors, it makes anything here on earth just disappear. The reason that I close my eyes when I talk to you is because I don't even do it consciously, but unconsciously, superconsciously, my whole attention is drawn up to that third eye point. I feel myself totally glued, and I feel the consciousness of God flowing to me. I don't plan out what I'm going to say to you. When Mother asked me to give talks, she said, have a reading from the Bible or some scripture. Have a few stories in mind, because people always like some stories. And then let God speak through you. And then she finally said, and speak from your own experience. I don't want you to just speak philosophically, but speak from your own experience. In the beginning, it's a huge place of trust to stand before people, and particularly after speaking after Mother, when she wasn't there or she wasn't speaking for some reason. And I was to give a talk. And so I had to learn to set everything else aside and to allow God to speak through me. Now, that would seem blasphemous to some people or very strange to others. What do you mean? It's God who's speaking through, and yet this is my experience. I feel God so greatly all throughout my being. I feel his thoughts flowing through my own and speaking out through these words. I feel his vibration going out, and I stand as a witness to what he does in and through me. And it's the most tremendous thing. And many times as I talk, I say something and I think, that's a wonderful truth. And then sometimes I think, I really wonder if that is true, because I didn't know it before. And then sometime later, I ask God about it, and he shows me that indeed it is the truth. And I have never been let down by that. If we could live our life in such trust, with such surrender, accepting and focusing upon God alone, and really letting him act through us, speak through us, our lives would improve on every level, materially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. There is no doubt in my mind that everything would go better, be better. God is not some miser that you focus upon him and he takes everything away from you. It's not like that. He gives in such great abundance that we cannot believe it. However, in order to really focus our attention on him, we have to willingly let go of our attachment to everything. Joe Goldsmith once said that it may be rare, but it can be possible for a millionaire not to rely upon his bank account or his investments, that he could be consciously aware that God is his prosperity and that God is constantly supplying him. Master once said, "I don't care for possessions, Lord. What I ask for is that you supply me with my needs every single day as I need it." Can you imagine the freedom if you really felt that God would give to you everything that was needed and that your part was to surrender yourself 100% to him? You see, you can't be lazy when you do that, because that's attachment to laziness. If you think it's a life of ease, it's not. It's the most exacting life that you can imagine. But when you come to that point of surrender, when you are like the wise men following the star, you're looking for the star of the east. So you see this part of your body, the point between the eyebrows, that is the east of your body. The top of your head is the north. The back of your head is the west, and the base of your spine is the south. And so these are the directions that are given within the Bible. This is the way that you can begin to understand the inner meaning of the Bible. And so they were focused upon the star of the east, and they were following it, so to speak. And then underneath, in that wonderful brain that we have, there is secretions that happen. And there's a secretion from the pineal gland, and this is the Joseph gland within you. And then there is the pituitary gland, and that is the Mary gland within you. And since these two glands never come together, this is a virginal birth, and these two secretions come together, and they form a psycho-spiritual seed right within your own being, right within your own brain. And when they come together, it happens every 29 and a half days. It's on a lunar cycle. And when they come together, it travels down the ganglionic nervous system and comes to a point right behind the stomach. Now, Bethlehem means the house of bread. So this seed and its parents travel down to Bethlehem. And there you are taxed. Everyone is taxed. And what you are taxed for is your karma, for all the things that you've done in your outward journey from God. And so you begin this terrific journey, and there are oppositional forces. And Herod, King Herod, comes up, and King Herod are the passions, and it's the desire to expel this energy and this force out through sexual energy. But at this time, if you hold this energy and you don't expel it out, that's the cutting off of all the heads of the children. Then the seed travels down to the base of the spine, and symbolically this is Egypt. And at Egypt there is a resting period there, but as you continue your spiritual practice, as you continue to focus upon the star of the east, as you continue to do everything that you can to keep your mind upon God and your spiritual practice, then that seed will begin to draw up through the spine. Now, at each one of these centers or chakras within the spine, there is a polarity. There is a positive and a negative. And these are the disciples. There's six of these centers, and so there are 12 disciples by polarity. And so the Christ seed makes its way up through the circuit of the spine, And as it comes up, it gathers together its disciples, but along with it, you have to face each thing that you are awakening as you go through. All your past karma happens there. I wanted you to read from a letter of a young devotee who's just been on the path a year and a half that we first met with each other. But it's a terrific experience that he's going through. And he writes, I have been through the waterfalls of divine love, an electric joy shaking my entire being while having to interact with masses of people. Kundalini moves up like a fire snake up and down my spine, purifying my body. Lying down, going into Kundalini, eyes rolling into the back of the head, shaking, and in my ajna, a golden thread of light appearing through my midline and another forming a cross through my heart, then diving into an ocean of bliss. Healing powers in so many forms awaken beyond my imagination, all while standing in the most profound golden light amongst crowds of people, watching from a thread of light vibrating in my spine, seeing everything through a oneness portal from my ajna. Daily fluctuations of energy so intense, from feeling like a superhuman to the next day like the most feminine, raw, vulnerable creature that almost wants to hide from everything. All from focusing on God and calling Christ into my heart, bringing this love that sets my chest on fire. Bliss beyond bliss, never-ending bliss to which it hurts to even think, leaving my heart. What does it all mean? How much does it mean all really matter? How does it affect my Kriya practice, my home, my journey home? I never consciously sought out any of this. I only resonated with being a normal truth seeker, human, that wants nothing more than to help this world. I do not know myself or trust parts of myself enough to accept anything in this world. My heart yearns daily to know the truth of my being. I feel our lineage. I feel the masters. I have spirit guides who have shown me they have been with me since I was little. The magic of my life's experience woven into my little sense of self and a pretty picture of a human potential. I want nothing more than to know that completely, to be sure about what it is God has me here to do, and to share that with others. I know that Kriya can help me navigate and empower me to take control of my physical body. I feel your presence, and I've gotten clear guidance that you can help me get there. I don't want to get lost, and I am willing to let go of all these expressions in order to meet God. Isn't that wonderful? This is the awakening, and it's happening. A few months ago, Master said that there is a great quickening going on right now, and that he was doing particular work through this form. In order for that quickening to take place, for that upliftment in spirit, it's time. It's time, you see. We spend time preparing the ground. We're like farmers, gardeners who go out. And we prepare the ground, we dig it up, we get rid of the weeds, everything, the rocks, everything that doesn't belong there. And then we plant the seeds. You know, there's a strange thing that occurs within gardens or farms. You go through and you get rid of all the rocks and all the weeds. And then the frost comes. And when the frost comes and the freeze comes, it actually brings the rocks up to the surface. So it seems like you're growing more rocks than flowers sometimes. And the weeds come back because the seeds are inside the soil and they're waiting for the ripe opportunity. And so we have to be constantly about our business. It's not like we make a spiritual effort once. It's not like we can go down to the altar and say, Lord, I accept you. Be my Savior, and the deal is done. Really, we're just beginning upon the path. We really put our minds upon God, and we have to be constantly about our business of getting rid of the rocks, of getting rid of the weeds, getting rid of everything that doesn't belong there, everything that is not of God. And you put yourself in service. You look around yourself. Where can I serve at? And you may imagine in your life that, oh, you have to be perhaps like Mother Teresa of Calcutta and go and serve the poor in that way to be of service. Or you may imagine that you have to have great wealth in order to be of service. But this is not true. If we have the attitude of service, we may give somebody a smile. We may give somebody a helping hand. When Mother Krishnabai met Papa, she just absolutely knew that she needed to be with him. And she stayed in that town for some time, living there. And through circumstances beyond her control, she had to leave that town. And she went to a distant city. And her heart ached so much for her guru, she just couldn't stand it. And so she took one change of clothing. She emulated Papa in this sense. She left her home and she made her way all the way back to Anandashram. And she arrived there, and it was improper from a social etiquette standpoint for a woman to be staying at the ashram. But Papa said, "This is your home now." He saw the great surrender that she had. How could he turn her away? And so she came to live there. And as she was living there, Papa would say, "I want you to go out and I want you to just start cleaning people's houses, helping them with their children, doing seva all around the community." And so she would show up at somebody's house and she says, "Can I clean your house for you?" Can you imagine such a thing? Doing it or receiving it? How lovely. "Yes, of course, come. Do some sweeping, do, you know, whatever is required." And this is what she did. And all the time she kept her name on Ram Nam, and she is chanting God's name. This is tremendous. Tremendous. But in our lives, we can look around. We can see where there's something that's needed to do. Somebody who needs a helping hand. Somebody who needs some encouragement. Master used to say, "Be a smile, millionaire. It costs you nothing. But it awakens something lovely when somebody receives that, and particularly when that smile comes from God." Be a smile millionaire and give it away with free abandon. We think so oftentimes this time of year of giving gifts and receiving gifts, but really the great gift that we can give and receive is God's presence. When you go inside in the quietness of your own being, and you feel that spirit filling you up, you feel that tremendous divine energy flowing throughout, you look out at this world and you practice seeing God in everyone and everything. You know, we're so apt to feel a bit sorry for ourselves at different times. I've told the story before, but I remember so well. It's such a powerful lesson on me and for me. That I was doing some service for different ones, and there didn't seem to be any acknowledgement, even any conscious awareness that I was doing that service at all. And so I was feeling a bit sorry for myself this many years ago. And then God showed me how He constantly creates this universe. In Sri Yukteswar's Holy Science, it talks and uses that present tense form of the verb, He creates, not that He created. Later on, some editor changed it to created. That's what we're used to hearing. But actually, this universe, this creation is a constant creation of God. And if God ever withdrew Himself from this universe, we and everything in it would instantly vanish, disappear. So He creates it, He sustains it, and when He is ready, He withdraws it back into Himself. And so we cannot become too attached to the things of this universe, of this world, because everything that is given will one day be taken away. Everything that is created will one day dissolve. This is the law of the universe. Do you realize that within 100 years, not one of us, by any likely odds, will still be here? We will be gone. Entire earth will have had a changeover in people, and yet we cling to this life as if it is everything. It is nothing but a blip in the soul's evolution and consciousness. When you realize, when you are shown how many lives you have lived, how many times you have died, how many times you have been born, and you realize that 60 or 70 or 80 years is just nothing. It's just a blink of an eyelash. And so you give everything to God. It reminds me of a little story I was telling this morning. It's quite funny, where God is having a conversation with someone, and the individual said, "Well, God, what is $1 million like to you?" And God says, $1 million is like a penny to me." "Oh, okay. Well, what's 1 million years like?" "Well, 1 million years is just like a second to me." The man thought, and he's rather a clever mind, and he says, "Well, God, can I have $1 million? And God said, "Just a second." So we want to measure everything by our own standards and our own means. And it's impossible to judge the gigantic plans that God has for this universe. Sometimes we look out and we feel helpless about it. We feel hopeless about it. Seems like everything's going in the wrong direction. And yet, if we could understand that, as Mother says here, everything that is taken away from us is a stepping stone to God. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? Now, we should always strive for perfect health. We should always strive for perfect realization. We should always strive for great abundance in everything that God chooses that is for our good. And in truth, this is the way that we were created. This is proper. But the fact is that we have lived in separation from God. So when we have to face those things that don't seem to reflect those realities, we can know that that is something that we ourselves have set into motion. And that karma is a very exacting mistress. And you cannot escape without having paid the price in order to go beyond those things which you yourself have done. Now, you may think, "Well, I don't remember doing those things." But when you remember from a soul's perspective, you will remember everything. It is said that the Buddha, when he attained realization, remembered all of his previous lifetimes. And with that comes the sense of justice that previously escaped us. We think, "Well, the world is unjust, it is unkind." And when we really understand it from God's perspective, we see that that is not so. It is very just. It is very kind. Now, this coming of the Christ is something that is very personal. It is something that is very real. One of the things that really has surprised me in my own path is how much it affects the body, how real these spiritual forces are. They're not mamby-pamby kinds of things. They're not so ephemeral that you can barely catch them. They're powerful. And they will convince you through every cell of your being of their reality and their truth. And you may ask, "Well, how can I be any more sure about this truth than anything else I have ever thought?" And it is because you feel it with every cell of your being. It transforms you. It changes you. And in that change, you know that you are in touch with divine realms, that you know that you are receiving the truth. Now, in your upward journey, there may be times when you're fooled. Sometimes we think we're getting the truth, and the mind is very subtle and very clever. But in reality, that will be revealed as long as we have sincerity. And in that sincerity, all truth is revealed and all error is revealed as well. So this coming of the Christ is something that has been prophesied all down through time. You look in every culture, you look in every religion, and there's always this sense of expectation. Now, a lazy part of us would like some divine personality to come down here on earth and straighten everything out and do the work for us. But that's not the way it happens. We have to do the work. We have to make the changes. As Mahatma Gandhi said, "Become the change you want to see in this world. If you want a kinder world, become more kind. If you want a more loving world, more compassionate world, a world where people consider other people's interests, other people's joy, other people's happiness, then be that example. Become that person. Let your light so shine that everyone around you will glorify your heavenly Father. Then you will know that you are God's instrument upon this earth. The Christ will be born within your heart. Do not worry about whether you can get through such experiences, or you may hear this young man's experiences, and step back a little bit in horror. It may feel like it's a little bit too much. You may hear Mother speak about her experiences. And Mother even commented that sometimes when she is in the middle of her spiritual experiences, she wondered what in the world she'd gotten herself in for. Master one time said that as long as there's anyone in delusion, that he will come back to this world again and again and again, plying his boat from the worldly shores to eternity. Later on, he was talking to Mother, and he says, "My God, what was I talking about? Why did I ever say that?" But this is the resolution. This is the desire of every great master, is that you should have that realization. And one thing about it, whenever any great spiritual master goes through all these experiences, they never look back and say, "I wish I hadn't ever done it." They would think themselves the greatest fool in the world to turn away such a gift, such a thing. The birth of Christ is coming. It is here. It is now. When you make the conditions, when your three wise men, the three wise men presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the gold is your attachment to the things of the world, the fool's gold of this world, that promises so much happiness but delivers so little. And the frankincense is the incense. It is the wafting up of devotion towards God. And so you give that also at the feet of the Christ. And then there is the myrrh. That is the bitterness in life. And it seems perhaps a strange thing that we should be attached to our bitterness. But listen to people. Listen to them talk, and they almost glory in the miseries. "Let me tell you what the latest thing happened to me," and off they go into all the tragedies, all the difficulties, everything that is wrong about life. And you will see that that person has an attachment, a fascination. That's what they focus their mind on. That means we have to let that go as well. And can we do it? Of course we can. It's not beyond us. And to remember that grace is always operating within you. No matter what you have to go through, this is one great truth that God showed me so clearly, is that no matter what we're given, we are given an abundance of grace to meet and overcome whatever things, whatever trials, whatever difficulties that we are given, when we keep our mind upon Him. You see, Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock, and all those who open the door, I come in and sup with them, and they with me." They share, they commune with each other. But notice the sequence of events. He's knocking at the door. But the individual has to open the door. Why? Because it is the individual who's closed their door to the infinite consciousness, to the love of God, the light of God, the bliss of God. And so we too must open that door. We must open it. You must open it. But when you do, all of this God consciousness comes flooding into you. And you merge yourself into that Christ consciousness, the eternal Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. What does that mean? When God created this world, Divine Father, Heavenly Mother, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother came together. And Divine Mother is Prakriti. That is the expression of God. Heavenly Father is that part of God that resides in spirit and never goes out into creation. It resides within itself in all of its perfection. Divine Mother creates. Divine Mother creates nature, Mother Nature, and goes out and creates everything that is. But what is sprinkled throughout all creation is that perfect Son of God, that perfect expression of Spirit. and it is the firstborn within every creature. It is right within your own heart. It is right within the heart of everyone who exists. And no matter how dastardly you might be, no matter what you might do against man and God, you cannot in any way destroy that light. Krishna said that fire cannot destroy it, burn it, that water cannot drown it, that it cannot be stayed nor changed in any way. You do not have that right or that privilege to do so. So no matter what your background is, no matter what you have done in your life, that perfection resides within you, and the moment you turn your attention to it, it can explode into a seed that will become a tremendous tree of God realization upon which the birds of heaven may find rest and reveal God's great truth to you, where you receive the sunlight of divine consciousness. And you may provide shade for those who are weary and need of rest. Fulfill your destiny. Fulfill the reason why you have come. This is such a tremendous holiday. And you know, holiday is a holy day. You have come for this purpose. And so let it be a reminder. Enjoy all the things of family and food and all the rest of it, but not to the neglect of God. What a shame that is when we forget the reason for the season. God is the reason. Christ is the reason. And our own realization is the reason. So take time during the season. It's placed here for a particular reason, you know, because this winter solstice is a very powerful time. Many people have great difficulty. I have for many years. I have noticed that I had extraordinary difficulty all the way up until the solstice. And then the solstice would come and something would break and everything would get easier after that. Different people have different experiences with it. But it's a powerful time of year. And when we deepen our meditation and go inside, then God will show us great truths, lift us up into the bliss of His being, reveal the light of His eternal being. This is the truth. And if you will enter into your inner cavern, the cave within you, shutting out all the things of the world, it's hard in the beginning, I know that, and everything seems to come to distract you. But do it. Go deeper. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. Take some times when you will double the amount of time that you meditate in order to teach yourself to dive deeper. You'll be in a state of meditation and suddenly you'll just pop right back up to the surface so fast. What you know is that you've met something that at least on an unconscious level has frightened you. And so we have to challenge those places to go through them. It's easy for me to understand why somebody would just set aside their meditation practice. It's tough work. It's hard work. There's a wealthy man that built a temple, and one day a yogi came to live there. And the yogi was diving deeper and deeper and deeper into meditation, and this man of wealth was a man of action. And he didn't see much action coming out of this yogi, just sitting around, what to him looked like he was just lazing about all day. And so he said, why don't you help around here? Why aren't you of service in some way? All you're doing is just laying about. And the yogi said, well, why don't you just sit with me for 5 minutes? Oh, I don't have time for that. What foolishness, what nonsense. No, just 5 minutes. Just sit quiet with me. So the wealthy man sat down. It was the longest 5 minutes in his life. And suddenly his eyes were open and he saw that it was no small task to enter in more deeply. And he gained a new appreciation and he says, never mind, my son, you just keep meditating. You be the example. Because he realized that it was not an easy thing to do. So I realize it's not always easy. It's not always natural. But what we gain from it cannot be described. The bliss, the joy, the peace. We have to work at it, sure enough. But it's not just your work. Grace is constantly coming to you, constantly lifting you up. In the Bible, it says to soar as on wings of eagles. Open up your wings, your spiritual wings. Feel that upward draft and let it take you into the heaven of your own being. Observe the Christ being born within the humble circumstances within your own being. Watch as the Christ makes the circuit and comes up through the spine. You will be amazed, absolutely amazed at the reality that takes place right within your own being. It's calling to you. You would not be here today. You would not be listening to these words if that were not true. You are being called, not by me, not by anyone else, but by God within you. Make that your gift to yourself, to respond to that call, to go deep within and to feel the bliss, the might, the joy, the light and the love of the eternal Spirit within you. And you will be born as new. And you will become a son of God, not the son of man. Now, if you will pray with me, O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Sit for a few minutes in quiet receptivity. Remember in the Bible scripture it says here, to all them who received Him gave He power to become the sons of God. Open your heart. Open on a soul level. Receive.